Those are the, so we had the man b'schus Moshe, the water b'schus Miriam, and the ani akavod b'schus Aaron. So, an interesting to note that even though they're all tremendous miracles, but yet only one got a holiday. Which one of the three do we have a holiday? Well, but even though we don't have a holiday for all, but we do have a zecher for the other ones. So we... So we have the holiday of Sukkot. Why do we sit in the Sukkah? So we sit in the Sukkah either because of Sukkot's Mamish or the Anane HaKavod. So therefore we see, because of Anane HaKavod, we have a holiday. The Man, we'll see, we don't have a holiday. Well, maybe you'll say every Friday night, every Shabbos meal, when we cover the Challah, so that's a Zecher L'Man. So it's not a holiday, but at least it's a remembrance. We'll come back to the water shortly. But just to go back, so why is it that only the Anei HaKavod, only Aaron, only the Anei HaKavod got a holiday? Why don't we make a holiday for the Man and the Mayim? They're equally important, if not more. You can't survive without water and food. So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz has a famous answer, and others point out as well, it's exactly why. You can't survive without water and food. In other words, Klal Yisrael were in Egypt, so albeit as bad as it was, at least they would get, you get, you know, when you're in jail, you get three meals a day, you know, and you don't have to worry about parnasa. Obviously, it's a klala, but you're taken care of. It's kind of like when Hashem cursed the snake, and now the snake is, you're gonna be on your belly, and you're not gonna have to pray to God anymore. In other words, it looks like a reward now. You just get the food on your own. The answer is no. That now you're gonna be, it's kolchim yotzim yadi. You're never gonna have to turn to God because you could fend for yourself. So that's really a klola, as we see the Torah says, the snake was cursed. It wasn't blessed by having the food. So to hear the Jews had food in Egypt. So. What are you going to do? Take me in the Midbar and starve me? Like, great move, Moshe. Like, what, you're going to want to... In fact, that's what they complained about. What, do you bring us out here to kill us? You know, that was... So, when it comes to the food and the bread and the water, Midas Hadin requires that you give them food. It doesn't show... you can discuss whether you should or shouldn't have a baby, but once you have a baby, you better feed the baby, whether you're adopting a baby or, it's this common decency. You bring someone in the world, you take care of them. You don't obviously if you can't do it yourself, you give it up for adoption. But I don't mean you personally, but the basic needs of the child must be kept. So when the Jews were in Egypt, they had the basic needs. So therefore, if God's going to make them travel in the Midbar for 40 years, so Midas HaDin requires that they have food. So they have, in other words, when a parent gives a child bread and water, it doesn't necessarily show the love for the child. Like any baby that's starving and doesn't have food, you're not going to leave and you'll take care of. So... It shows you have common decency and sense. You're feeding the child, but it doesn't show that you love for someone. In other words, when you do something you have to do, it doesn't show the extra love. When you do something extra, you go the extra mile, that shows the relationship. So therefore, the Anei HaKavod, God, that has made us a more comfortable trip. We didn't have to have it. So God showed his love for us for Anei HaKavod, so we go ahead and, you know, we have a, and therefore we have a holiday where it shows our relationship between us and God. The other ones is, like the famous story, I think one day the Mashkiach saw, the student looked a little out of it today during Chavrusa, or Asher, so he walked over to him. You know, it was a kollel guy. And he said, what's wrong? I got into my first fight with my wife. You know, whatever, we got into a little disagreement last night. It's real. So the mashkiach told him what happened. I mean, he told the mashkiach, over such silliness, you guys are fighting? Like, I know what you do during lunchtime. Go stop off in the flower store and go home and bring your wife some flowers and apologize. And then, you know, it'll be all better. So, okay, so he takes the mashkiach. During lunch, he goes to the flower store. And he goes to, when he gets home, he takes the flowers and throws it at his wife and says, the mashkiach told me I have to do this. You think that's going to be well received? Obviously not. In other words, obviously if you're doing something extra, you're doing something to show you care. So therefore, Ani HaKavod shows God's love. When you go the extra mile, whatever it may be, that's when you show, when you spend the extra time with your child, or, you know, whatever doing the extra mile means. So that's why only the Ani HaKavod got a special yontif, because the other was required, Midas Adin. And as we mentioned, for the man, we have a Zecher Laman every Shabbos, and perhaps every yontif. But what about the Mayim seems to get the short end of the deal here. The Mayim gets no mention. So in this week's parsha, we see the Mayim does get a mention. It doesn't get a Zecher on Shabbos. It doesn't get a yontif, but it gets its own Shira. It gets its own song. Most people probably will not notice it. It's a couple of, in contrast to the major Shira we're all familiar with, the Shiras Hayam, that we know when the Jewish people were slaves in Egypt 210 years, and then they finally left out, and the Egyptians were chasing them, and the water they got through, and then the water started closing on them. Oz, Yashir, Moshe, Uvinei Yisrael. So we see already that we're familiar with the great Shira that was sung, that they sang when they left Mitzrayim. But a much unknown Shira is one in this week's Parsha. After Miriam died, so they realized that they know it was, that's how they knew it was Mitzchus Miriam, because when she died, the water, they had a water shortage. Yes. So they sang a Shira about the, you know, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu about the great, you know, providing us water all this time. So they composed the Shira, Shiras Hayam. Not Shiras Hayam, Shiras of the water. So the commentators compare and contrast which one was the greater Shira. But either they're both good Shiras, but one glaring difference between the Shiras Hayam and the Shiras Hamayim is when we sing the Shira, Oz Yosher Moshe Uvenei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu is included in the Shira, right? But in this Shira, it says Oz Yosher Yisrael. Moshe wasn't included in the Shira about the Mayim. So why is it? Why is it when it comes to Shiras Hayam, Moshe Rabbeinu is included, but when it comes to Shiras Hamayim, he's left out. So Rashi already alludes to it when he quotes a Medrash to say, because we didn't want to embarrass Moshe Rabbeinu, because what was Moshe's sin exactly? We don't know exactly what happened, but some reason for not talking to the rock, he hit the rock, something. And instead of just talking that the water should come out, he hit the rock. So we know Moshe's sin is associated with the water. So we didn't want to embarrass Moshe. We're going to mention Moshe's name and then talk about the water. So not to embarrass Moshe, so maybe he was involved in the Shira, but we left his name out because we didn't want to bring memory to his name. We didn't want to mention the Mayim together with Moshe. It reminds me of a pshat Rav Salah. Well, yeah, Jeff.
Yes, sorry, your last couple of sentences. Yeah. If you could. About Moshe, whatever he did wrong to the Mayim.
Yeah, it's the shame of Moshe that we ask, why is Moshe's name left out when it comes to the Shira and the Mayim? Is because when we think of the water, we think of the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu. So we don't want to mention Moshe's name, and then we talk about the water. It'll be an embarrassment to him. It's about, you put someone up on the stage and then you're talking about his mistakes he made. So even though he might have been involved with the Shira, but we don't mention his name. And it reminds me of a pshat, mean nothing to do with this, but the same foundation, that the famous question is, why is there very little mention of Hanukkah in the Mishnayos? There's very little in the Gemara also. But why is there, when it comes to Purim, you have a whole Masechta, but when it comes to the Mishnayos, there's very little mention. It's parenthetical mention of the Chashmonaim. There's very parenthetical mention of Hanukkah. So Rav Soloveitchik, there are many answers. But Rav Soloveitchik explains, because what was the sin? The sin, how did the Greeks defile the temple? We have a principle. If someone comes into your home, let's say someone comes into your dining room and they bow down to it and make it avodah zarah, does that mean it's asur bahanah, you can't use it? No. Because ein adam asur davar she'eino shel, they can't come into my place. That has to belong to you. If you're going to make it into avodah zarah, it has to be yours. You can't take my stuff. I see. So whatever, the guy comes into my house, takes out my pots and pans and cooks treif, do I say, well, ein adam asur davar she'eino shel? No, the pots do become treif. What's the difference? How come by avodah zarah my table doesn't become asur, but my pots do? Yeah, the kasha? Because when it comes to the kasheris, I'm actually physically doing something. That's a metzias. I am putting that. Okay, here avodah zarah is all in the mind. It's just by makshava. There's nothing. There's no maisa happening here. So a person can't prohibit something that was the question they asked. How could the Greeks come in and defile the temple and make avodah zarah? That's the kasha. So some want to point out maybe avodah zarah is different there, but the other answer they give, the Baal HaMor, is you're right. The Greeks could not have defiled the temple. You know who did? It's the Misyavnim. It was the Jews who converted. That's who, without the Jewish anti-Semites, it never could have happened. And that's the pshat. That's why we left the Chashmonaim out of the Mishnah. Because if we spoke about them in the Mishnah, it would be a genai. Oh, look, these are the people that were sinners and they let the Greeks go in. That's why they... So whatever the... But either way, getting back to our point, that's what he's saying here. He left out Moshe Rabbeinu because it was a genai to Moshe. That's the simple pshat. However, there's a beautiful answer from the Shemin HaTov. The Shemin HaTov points out as follows. He says, no, there's a fundamental difference between the Shira the Jews sang when they left Mitzrayim and the Shira they sang on the water. That they were in different stages in life. When the Jews were in Egypt for 210 years and they were enslaved, and, you know, so they were killed, mistreated. And what happened? Finally, you know, Moshe, Hashem said Moshe, and they took him out of Egypt. But the Jews had a slave mentality. They were slaves. That's why, in fact, that's what the Eben Ezra says. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu had to be brought up in the king's palace. The question is, why wasn't he brought up with the Jews in the concentration camps in Egypt? So one answer is because if he was brought up with them, he'd be one of the guys. He wouldn't be able to demand respect. Like, oh, I know this little kid Moshe. I remember when he was a baby, like he was five. He was God didn't want them in there. They'd be too close, and they wouldn't give the respect he deserves. But a secondary pshat is because Moshe had learned leadership skills. He observed them in the house of Paro. He went to the best leadership classes in schools. So therefore, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu had to teach them to break the slave. I mean, that's how the Evan Ezra says, that's why they sinned by the chitzin and the go to they still couldn't break that slave mentality of not knowing what to do without the leader. So what happened was, so it was right at the beginning of the journey. So it's Oz, Yashir, Moshe, Uvenei Yisrael. The Jewish people were just beginning as a nation. Moshe Rabbeinu was just beginning as a nation. So therefore, whether you're teaching someone how to walk, how to ride a bicycle, how to learn a Chumash and Rashi, how to learn Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, whenever you're learning with someone in the beginning, it takes a lot of work. Whether you're a professor and you're teaching the kids something new, there's a lot of hand-holding going on. Not during COVID, not literally, but there's a lot of hand. You know, you have to spend a lot of time, stand the people up, and give them a lot of help. So therefore, that was Moshe Rabbeinu was known as the greatest of all leaders. Besides the greatest prophet, he was a great leader as well. And he realized you got to spend the time and teach them how to do things. So Moshe, so especially in the beginning, in the embryonic stage, he was there. He was there with them. So it's Oz, Yashir, Moshe. The Jews couldn't make a shear with, they couldn't do anything without Moshe. In fact, that was the Taina, was Moshe was doing everything. It wasn't until God commanded them to do the Karban Pesach, they finally got involved. And also when Nachshon Ben Aminadav walked into Kriyas Yamsuf. So basically Moshe was doing everything, and then they're finally doing a little bit. So that's Oz Yashir Moshe. The Jews could not make up a Shira without Moshe. However, when was the second Shira given? 39 years later, the Jews were about to enter the land of Israel. So that's... So you know why Moshe's name is left out of the Shira? It's not a Genai to Moshe. It's a Shevach to Moshe. It's a praise to Moshe. Because like all great leaders, what's a great leader? That when the people, when you're not there, they know how to act without you. You train them that they know what to do. Like, I think I was in a kindergarten, I don't mean when I was in kindergarten as a student, but when I was walking by, I think it was the HHA, yes, I saw a sign on the wall like, act like the teachers here, even when they're not, you know, something like not along those ways. In other words, you have to feel the teacher's always in front of you. In other words, a teacher teaches you how to act even when they're not there. I'm not going to be there all the time. Or a teacher teaches you how to think, you know, this, you know, whether we're talking about grade 2-8, whether you're learning a Beis HaMedrash, whatever the case is, a mentor, a teacher, Rebbe, that's teaching you, you know, how to learn, etc. So in the beginning, there's a lot of work, a lot of hand-holding. However, what's the greatest mila of a teacher? When the student himself becomes a Rebbe. Even when a student surpasses the Rebbe. Even that's an amazing thing. So, why is Moshe's name left out? Why is it Oz Yashir Yisrael? Because Shevach to Moshe Rabbeinu. He was a great leader. He trained the people how to sing a Shira when he was not even there. Oz Yashir Yisrael, they were able to survive on their own. Imagine, you know, you're teaching someone how to do a bicycle. In the beginning, you let go and the kid falls off. But after a while, you know, you help you, you know, you carry your 2-month-old baby. But if you at 20 you're still carrying the kid, yet you both have problems. There's a problem here. You got to take the training wheels off on the bike at some point. You go from the four wheels to the two. You got to do it at the right time. So Moshe Rabbeinu trained them, and that's why it's Oz Yoshe Yisrael. And that's why, as we say in Pirkei Avos, what's one of the great ma'ilas of a teacher? V'hemido talmidim harbe. And you have many students, but what's the language? It doesn't say you teach many students, it says v'hemidu, and you stand up many students. Lashon amida. The goal of a Rebbe is that the student could stand up on his own. They know, of course, you always need some guidance from the Rebbe, you need a mentor, get some direction, but ultimately, you always still need your parents, but hopefully you can walk without your parents, you know? They don't have to be there holding your hand, crossing the street with you, watching you when you play it. A good parent trains their child that they could act on their own. That's the greatest. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Rebbe, parent. He was able to train the Jewish people that they could sing their own Shira. So to summarize, we had the three things, the miraculous things that the Jews had in the Midbar, the Anei HaKavod, the water and the man, and only the Anei HaKavod got a holiday because that showed God's love for the Jewish people. So we show our love for God, and we go out and sit in the sukkah. The man gets a zechel l'man every Shabbos, and the mayim doesn't get a zechel l'man, but it gets its own shira. A couple of psukim in this week's parsha, and we pointed out that this week, this shir only has Oz Yoshe Yisrael. There's no mention of Moshe. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, it's a disgrace to Moshe. They didn't want to embarrass him because they didn't want to put his name because he was involved in the sin with the water instead of speaking to the rock, he hit it. However, the Shemin HaTov says, no, that wasn't the... That leaving Moshe's name out was a shevach. It wasn't a gnai because the original shir was sang in the beginning of the journey. And like any good parent, Rebbe, you spend a lot of time when your kid's very young. They need all the direction, all the help they could get.
Yes.
But 39 years later, if you still need Moshe to sing the shira, you lost without him. It's a problem. Because you're not going to have Moshe much longer. He's going to. So therefore, the greatness of Moshe, he taught his students how to write a shira on their own. They didn't need him anymore. So Oz Yoshe Yisrael, and that's why if it's the Hamidu Talmidim Harbe, he got them to stand up on their own 2 feet, and that's the greatest shevach. And that's why Moshe is not only the greatest prophet, but he's one of the greatest Jewish leaders.
He took the training wheel, sir.
And he knew it.